You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Hour three here on 98.7. Is it 9:10? Yeah, we're heading into hour three. Here on 98.7 ESPN, with you until 12:30 this afternoon, heading into your Rangers pregame show. Don LaGreca will take it up. We'll pick it up from there. And of course, you'll be able to listen to the Rangers game right here on 98.7 ESPN. We heard from Jordan Renan, albeit late, but he made it. Now we go to the Jets. So therefore, Rich Cimini, who does a phenomenal job covering the Jets, make sure you download his podcast, Flight Deck, to stay on top of all the Jets news. Good morning, Rich. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, same to you, Anita. I'm not late, though. I'm on time, right? As opposed to Jordan.
His phone was on silent. It was charging. It was on silent. Listen, I commend people. I know people who are like at night, they don't sleep next to their phone. They'll put their phone in another room. They'll put it on silent and to charge it. And it's not even like next to them. I don't know how they do that. Well, I commend them. Apparently it's supposed to be healthier for you.
It's probably healthier mental health wise, but this is, the first week of free agency, I have to admit, I do sleep with the phone next to the bed. So,
there you go.
It's pretty much a 24-hour cycle, so you never know.
Yeah, can you imagine Adam Schefter or any of those guys, Ian Rappaport and those guys, Jay Glazer? That must be insane for them right now. But nonetheless, let's talk about this Jets team and what they were able to do in free agency. And Tyron Smith, bringing him in, left tackle, signed him a one-year deal. Your thoughts on that signing and how important it is now that he'll be protecting Aaron Rodgers' blindside?
Yeah, that was a good pickup for the Jets because of the price. I know it was reported as a one-year up to $20 million, but that is if he hits a ton of incentives. I heard it was about $7 million in actual guarantees. So to get a player of that stature, who's been to 8 Pro Bowls, a couple of All-Pros, for basically $7 million is a pretty good discount. And I think it fills a short-term need for them. There is a lot of risk there. There's no question about it. He's missed 37 games over the last 4 years. He has not played a full season since 2015. And, there were signs of slippage late last year. I know he gave up a couple of sacks in that awful loss to Green Bay in the playoff game. So there is some risk there. But I thought in the Jets situation, with the cap restrictions they were under and the amount of holes they had to fill on the offensive line, I thought that was a good pickup for them.
So how does this, and some other linemen as well, John Simpson, Morgan Moses, left guard, right tackle. So give us the starting five you're anticipating, and how good of an offensive line do you anticipate this to be?
It's very interesting, Anita. Joe Douglas filled 3 starting jobs on the offensive line, and those 3 guys are only going to take up about $20 million in cap space for this year. Ooh. So That's how you rebuild an offensive line on a limited budget. So, yeah, from left to right, of course, it'll be Smith at left tackle. It'll be Simpson at left guard. You got Kipman coming back at center. Now, one of the positives of this is that Vera Tucker can settle in at guard, at right guard. And Morgan Moses, who came over in a trade from Baltimore, will be the right tackle. So, yeah, this is, on paper, this is an improved offensive line over last year. There's no question about that. Last year's line was terrible. So you got 2 33-year-old tackles, and one of them's got an injury history, and they're both on one-year contracts. So I still think the Jets are going to look for another tackle, especially one who can play left tackle because of Smith's durability issues. And so I don't think it precludes them from drafting a tackle with the 10th pick in the draft. I'd say it's less likely now, but I wouldn't completely rule that out.
Listen, when you talk to teams who've made it to the postseason and have won in the postseason, you know, one of the biggest things is depth, because injuries are expected. So, you know, even though it's great that the Jets now have checked a lot of boxes in regard to need, so they don't have to head into this year's NFL draft, having that type of commitment, needing to draft towards need more so than best player on the board. But still, you know, having that, having depth is so crucial and so important. There's no denying that. So with that being said, a lot of people are anticipating the Jets to draft a tight end. An offensive lineman with their first overall pick. Who do you think is going to be available? Who are some of the players that Jets fans need to keep an eye on as we get closer to the end of April?
Well, Fashanu, Penn State, and Fuaga, Oregon State are the two most likely tackles if they go in that direction. But like I said, I think that's less, you know, it truly is a best player available pick now. And you knew Joe Douglas, this is his MO. You know, he doesn't go into the draft with a gaping hole at a position for the reasons you just mentioned. So now, all of a sudden, Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, is a factor at 10. If he's there, I mean, tight end is not a quote-unquote premium position, and we know Joe Douglas usually likes to draft premium positions, but he's a playmaker, you know, and if you watch the Jets offense last year, you know they they need as many playmakers as they can get. So I think Brock Bowers is a factor. What if Rome Odunze, the fabulous wide receiver from Washington, slips to 10? I think he'd be a great addition. You put him in there with Garrett Wilson, you know, and all of a sudden you got a pretty explosive receiving core. So I think the Jets have so much more flexibility now with that 10th pick. And I also, from the stuff I'm hearing, I really think they wouldn't mind trading back at all a few spots. They only have two picks in the top 100. I think they would like to get a third pick in the top 100. And to do that, they could trade down from 10 to, say, 14 or 15 and pick up an extra pick. I think that's very much on their wish list right now as well.
Looking at their quarterback situation, what's the latest? What are you hearing about Aaron Rodgers and him healing from that Achilles surgery? You're hearing good things?
Well, I think we can safely say that he won't be on the campaign trail this fall. So. I guess there was a report yesterday that said he won't be the VP pick. I mean, did anyone honestly, realistically think he was going to leave football for politics? There wasn't really a chance of that happening. But all things I've seen and been told, he looks like he's moving along quite nicely from his rehab. He probably could have played. If the Jets made the playoffs last year, I think he would have been playing. So he should be fine. They'll probably limit him through OTAs, which is what you would expect. But, you know, they really made a commitment to Tyrod Taylor. You know, it shows you how much they value the backup quarterback. They gave him $8.5 million guaranteed, which is one of the larger guarantees for backup quarterbacks this year. So they put an emphasis on that as well they should have, given what took place last year. And so now at quarterback, we're all waiting for the other shoe to drop, which, of course, will be Zach Wilson. His days with the team are numbered. It's going to be very, very difficult for the Jets to trade him. You saw what Justin Fields went for, a 6 in 2025, and he's a better player than Zach Wilson. What would the Jets get for Wilson? If not much at all, if anything.
And don't get me wrong, love Tyrod Taylor, but you put a 34-year-old backup quarterback who's had health issues in a quarterback room with a 41-year-old quarterback this year coming off of Achilles surgery. I think there could have been better options out there than Tyrod Taylor. Rich, don't you agree?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, there were better options. I think Gardner Minshew would have been a better option, but there was no chance he was going to go to the Jets and sit behind Aaron Rodgers where he can go to another team for $15 million guarantee and be a possible starter with Vegas. So, same thing with Jacoby Brissett. I thought he would have been a real good fit for the Jets, but he goes to New England for, you know, at 6.5 guaranteed, but he's got a really good chance to start there. He can be a bridge starter, you know, once they draft, I'm assuming they'll draft a quarterback, but Brissett could start the season. There was no chance that was going to happen in New York. And you make a really good point. The downside to Tyrod Taylor is the durability concern. I wrote this in my notes column this morning on how many injuries he's had over his career. We all know about the ribs last year. He's had 4 documented concussions plus an assortment of other injuries. The Jets have the oldest quarterback room in the league. In fact, it's going to be the oldest quarterback room in the league that we've seen in the last 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's a valid concern just because of the durability factor. And when you start, like you said, your starter's 40 and he's coming off a major injury. So I do think the Jets will add a third quarterback. Well, they obviously will add a third quarterback. I think that could come via the draft, you know, something in the second, you know, third or fourth round, probably not third, but maybe fourth or fifth round. And possibly even a low-cost veteran, but I think they really would like to add a young, you know, a rookie into the mix.
Again, Rich Cimini joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Big picture here, Rich. The Bills having to shed a lot of players because they were in salary cap hell, that's for sure. The Patriots now without Mac Jones, again, potentially could be starting a rookie quarterback in this division. And then of course you got the Miami Dolphins improving their defense, offensively kind of staying the same. Your thoughts on the Jets this season competing in this division, you know, anticipating Aaron Rodgers to be healthy, you know, how confident are you that they could win this division this coming season with what we've seen happen in free agency and what we're anticipating to happen in the draft?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting question. I still think Buffalo and Miami are considerably ahead of the Jets right now. And you're right, they had to shed some salary because of the cap restrictions. But they still have really good quarterbacks, both teams. And so that's why I give those teams the edge. I think New England is where the Jets were in 2021. They're basically flipping their entire roster, and they'll be probably – if not starting a rookie quarterback, then certainly playing a rookie quarterback at some point in the year. So that they're behind, you know, in the cycle. And the Jets, it's really hard to say. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, I give the Jets a chance to win the division. That's a big question mark right now. How many games is he going to play? Is he going to be up now? Not only did he miss last year, but he didn't play that well the last year in Green Bay. So we haven't seen like the true Aaron Rodgers, you know, for a couple of years now. So will he be able to get back to that? If he's able to get back to something close to that, then I think for sure the Jets can compete for the division title because of the defense they have. Now, they lost a good player in Bryce Huff. You know, we haven't mentioned that name yet. He was their leading sacker. Mm-hmm. So that's a tough one. They're going to try to replace him with Jadeveon Clowney, who's coming in a couple of days for a visit. But Huff was an ascending player. That's a tough one. But it's still a good defense, and if they could add another weapon on offense to go along with Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, then I think, like I said, you know, they can be – they're the third best team in the division right now, and they're within striking distance of 1 and 2 if they could just figure out 1 or 2 parts and keep the quarterback healthy.
Last one for you. Odell Beckham Jr. is out there, and he's a free agent. I know there's been talk and speculation in the past, him and Aaron Rodgers talking, wanting to play with one another. Is that a player you think the Jets will kick the can and bring in?
Any player that's in the FOA category, which is a friend of Aaron, I think qualifies as a possibility for sure. So, yeah, I do think Beckham is a possibility. They're bringing in Mike Williams, I think, tomorrow or Tuesday for a visit. Of course, he's coming off the ACL injury. It was early enough in the season, week 3, to where you would think he'd be healthy enough to go in training camp. So I think he's a possibility. But Beckham is intriguing. The Jets thought they had him last year, and then at the last second, you know, Baltimore offered him $15 million, and he said adios to the Jets. But, you know, he didn't have a great year last year. I think it was only 30-something catches. His numbers were very modest. But I think if you take a closer look and look at some of the analytics, he actually – played better than the numbers that are suggesting. So I do think he is a possibility for the Jets as well as Mike Williams.
Rich, thank you so much. Thanks for spending some time with us on the St. Patrick's Sunday fun day. Appreciate it. Are you wearing green today?
Not yet, but I will partake as we head out. And yeah, I guess I'll have to throw something green on.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah. I don't own a lot of green, so like I'm trying to think about what do I have in my closet that's green that I could put on for later.
I'm wearing a green baseball cap right now. So
there you go. That does it.
So I guess that qualifies.
That does it. Rich, okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Again, Rich Cimini joining us. Make sure you download his podcast, Flight Deck, for all your Jets information, especially as we lead into this year's NFL draft. Quick break. We come back. We'll take your calls. 800-919-3776. Again, I think one of the biggest keys with this Jets team was filling in that backup quarterback situation. And as much as I love Tyrod Taylor, to bring in a quarterback who's 34 years old, coming off of a number of injuries, to me, just doesn't fit the bill. It'd be different if this was a team that wasn't trying to compete to win the division, let alone get to the playoffs. But for teams that are, I think the backup quarterback position is so crucial and so important. 800-919-3776. We'll be right back.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you here on 98.7 ESPN. Just hearing from Rich Cimini. Taking your calls, 800-919-3776. Harvey's producing the show this morning. He said that he asked me, does every holiday have a parade? I guess it does, Harvey. So this morning you said you thought maybe there was a marathon going on. Is there like a St. Patrick's Day marathon in the city today?
Yeah, I'm reading it here that there's a parade here. When I was taking the train to the station today, there was a bunch of people wearing green and running in shorts and everything. So there's a marathon and a parade today. I got it. I thought it would just be like a parade and that's it. I didn't know there's also a marathon and, you know, people with water bottles just going up and down the roads and all that.
Yeah, it typically means a marathon. 800-919.
I did not know. I'm stunned.
800-919-3776. Let's go to Mike in Roxbury. Mike, welcome in.
Anita, how you doing?
Great, thank you.
I wanted to ask you a question. I've been thinking about this for a couple of days now. What do you think the likelihood of the Giants trading Daniel Jones in the draft to a team like in Minnesota that's in scramble mode? And maybe Minnesota doesn't like one of the other quarterbacks left at the tail end of the first the way we do, like Penix Jr. or Bo Nix, and we can sneak back in and get him. Minnesota has an out after a year. $40 million is kind of middle of the road for quarterback pay. What do you think of that?
I think so a few things. Number one, so the quarterback room, and thank you for the phone call. The quarterback room for the Giants, I mean for the Minnesota Vikings, Sam Darnold, Nick Mullins, Jaren Hall, as of right now. Whatever team, if the Giants do trade Daniel Jones because he's coming off of ACL, I highly doubt that A, they'll get a lot for him because he just has not had a stellar career so far. And number two, I think that they would have to eat and pay a lot of the salary, very similar to what we're seeing happen with the Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson, right? So how much of that salary would the Giants have to eat? That's really the big question. Will there be some interested parties out there for Daniel Jones? I do. But again, what financially does that look like for the Giants? Because I doubt that there'll be a team out there that A, is going to offer a lot for Daniel Jones, B, let alone take over his entire salary. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Josh in Columbus. Josh, you're up.
Hey, Anita, how are you?
Great, thank you.
So I do not like what the Jets have done this offseason. I think what you're trying to do is take questions and make fewer questions. And by bringing in older players with significant injury histories at premium or very important positions, in the case of Tyrod Taylor, you've created more questions. And now you look at the draft, you don't have a second round pick. You're not really in a spot to grab one of those like really top flight receivers. I don't think between Harrison, Neighbors, and Odunes, any of them will be there at 10. Take a tackle for the future. It's not really going all in with Aaron Rodgers. So they're kind of between a rock and a hard place, and I don't think they've done enough to address any of the concerns. I feel like this year is going to be just as potentially combustible as last year, where, you know, Smith goes down for 6 games. What do you do?
Yeah, you know, again, you know, like I said, so a few things, Josh. First things first, I think, and thanks for the phone call. I do like what the Jets were able to do with the offensive line. And as we just had Rich Cimini on, and how Joe Douglas was able to sign these players and fill these voids on the offensive line, with the amount of money. But with the conversation, again, if you're just tuning in, you missed my conversation with Rich Cimini. Teams that make it to the postseason and win in the postseason have enormous depth. So even though the Jets were able to fill holes that they needed on the offensive line in free agency, I still think that they're a team that if there is a top tackle still available in the draft when they pick, I think, even though the offensive line position isn't the most exciting position to pick, and obviously I know Jets fans would love for them to take one of these outstanding wide receivers coming out, but at the end of the day, if you're not protecting Aaron Rodgers, I don't think this team is going anywhere. So to your point, yeah, even though the Jets have spent money in signing players to help their offensive line, I don't think that you could be done. I think offensive line is the most important, one of the most important positions, maybe second to the quarterback position, because you have nothing, A, if you don't have a quarterback, and B, if your quarterback doesn't have time to get the ball off, let alone establish a rushing attack that's going to keep defenses honest. So there's that, right? But even one step further, and again, let me preface by saying, love Tyrod Taylor, but I just don't think putting him in a quarterback room with another aging quarterback who's coming off of injury, very similar to Tyrod Taylor, I just, two wrongs don't make a right to me, you know? And I think that there were some better options out there. Yeah, would they have been more expensive? Now, if you're talking about Justin Herbert, if you're talking about, you know, I'm just trying to think some other quarterbacks, Josh Allen, quarterbacks out there that are young, healthy, don't have an injury history. Yeah, is Tyrod Taylor a good backup for them? Yeah. But I'm not thrilled with that choice, probably more than anything else. Quick break, we come back. David Samson is going to join us. We're going to switch gears once again and talk some Major League Baseball's opening day for a number of clubs. Obviously, at home is right around the corner. So we'll do a deep dive into what's going on with the Yankees, what's going on with the Mets. Big picture in regard to Major League Baseball. Excited to get David on. So we'll talk some Major League Baseball coming up your way next here on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you until 12:30 this afternoon. A little extra 30 minutes heading into your Rangers pregame show hosted by Don LaGreca. And you'll be able to listen to that Rangers game right here on 98.7 ESPN. Turning our attention to some Major League Baseball. David Sampson joins us now. Good friend of mine, former executive of the Marlins. And now on this side of the mic and hosting all his own radio programs and online and everything in between. David, how you doing? Happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Thank you, Anita. How you doing?
I'm great. Why don't you let the folks know, you know, everything you have going on, where they can find you, your podcast, all the things.
Thank you. I host Nothing Personal with David Sampson every day live at 8 a.m. on the Nothing Personal with David Sampson YouTube channel. You can download it. It's available at 9 a.m. Monday to Friday, audio. I'm on CBS Sports HQ doing MLB analyst stuff. And you never know, Anita, I may take Nothing Personal on the road and do a tour and do some live shows in the city near you. Look for that announcement coming soon, because why not?
So I love
it. I'm very happy to be here.
I love it. And this morning, you're training for a marathon? Is that?
I am. So you caught me. I just finished a 16-mile training run. I'm going to London to run the London Marathon. And I'm sitting down right now. I'm icing my calves, my quads, and my buttocks. I am not feeling particularly perfect, but I hope I sound cheery.
You do. So so as you know, I ran the New York Marathon quite a few years ago and for the Garden of Dreams Foundation. And, you know, I go into it thinking like, oh, I'm an athlete. I got this. And I certainly did not train properly. I want to say my longest run to train was 15 miles. I know you're supposed to do at least 20, 21, at least once or twice prior to the 26.2. So when I came down first and folks were like, oh, just 6.2 miles more, I can't even share with you what I wanted to say to them and how my body was feeling. So I feel your pain, my friend. I feel your pain. God bless you. Good luck. All right.
Thank you. It's a lot of mental. It's like baseball. Baseball, believe it or not, is so much more mental than people realize. The grind of the 162 games and what it takes to understand failure, because baseball is such a game of failure, and what it takes to deal with fans and media who are not understanding of sort of the rhythms of baseball. It really is a mental game.
All right, well, let's dive into it, and let's start with what's going on with the Yankees. They go out, they sign Juan Soto. You know, obviously you can argue best lineup in Major League Baseball. Coming into this season, spring training, feeling really good about themselves, and then all of a sudden, whoa, injury to Gerrit Cole. Thank God, no Tommy John's surgery needed on that right elbow, but he's going to be out for 12 to 14 weeks. Your thoughts on that injury and how you think that affects this rotation heading into the season?
Well, the rotation's a big question mark, and it's not like the Yankees don't spend money. With Rodon, they gave him $162 million. You know, Cole is the reigning Cy Young winner, and the irony is they traded for Juan Soto, and the Padres were shedding payroll, and then the Padres beat them with the White Sox to get Dylan Cease. And for the Yankees, it's an interesting year. I think it's one of their most important years in the last decade. And it sounds crazy, but I really think that Boone and Cashman, they've got to make a deep run into October. Hal's been really patient with them. And now with Gerrit Cole out, and that's a best case scenario for me. I know they're being very positive, you know, with nerve inflammation, you just don't know what's going on there. And you don't know how it'll be when he ramps up. He's never had an injury like this before. But I would think that for him to be effective by the All-Star break, that would be a dream. And maybe at his age, that's a good thing to shorten the season a bit. But none of it will matter if Rodon doesn't perform and Nestor doesn't perform. They need rotation depth. And you're seeing so many injuries around baseball with pitchers. It's really tough to deal with. And depth wins the day. So the Yankees' depth will be tested. So I don't think the Cole injury is the most important. I think it's what happens down the rotation that's most important.
So Spencer Jones, you know, obviously so many reports on him and seeing what a phenomenal spring, you know, training camp he's spring training he's having down there in Florida. But reports out there is that they could have had C's. They could have had Corbin Burns if they would have relinquished Spencer Jones, who a lot of people feel that, you know, is the next coming of Aaron Judge, if not even better. Do you think, look, I mean, everything's easier in hindsight, right? Like, you know, obviously we don't have a crystal ball. We didn't know that Gerrit Cole would go down like this. But looking back, you think that this is an organization that's having any regret that they didn't do that deal?
You know, it's funny. I think I probably would have traded Spencer Jones if Cole were healthy to try to lengthen the rotation. Prospects in baseball, they all look great. The next coming of Aaron Judge, the next coming of who knows who, Mickey Mantle, everybody's the next coming of somebody. But doing it in spring training, doing it in the minor leagues is one thing. Doing it in the big leagues year after year is another. And I understand that Brian Cashman wants to hold on to his prospects. We had an opportunity to trade Stanton so many times. We had an offer from the Dodgers to trade Stanton. We had an offer from everybody. Everybody wanted him when he was a prospect or when he was a performing young player. But the key is to know when it's time and you're not being delusional and when it's really time to win now. And it sounds crazy because the year ends so quickly and then you're on to the next year and only one team wins the World Series. I get all of that. But at some point when you're the Yankees, you've got to turn around this decade-long sort of arid situation they're finding themselves in October, especially coming off last year, and especially in their division where Baltimore is really good, Toronto could be very good, Tampa's always very good, and then you're left with the Red Sox who are bad. This is, you know, the Yankees need to beat good teams this year, so they really needed to load up. But the Cole injury changes that for me. Because without Cole, I just don't know how the Yankees will be able to be the best team in baseball and take it through October. So hopefully he comes back. And then what I would look for, Anita, is the Yankees to make a move at the deadline.
Well, any pitchers out there that you feel that, you know, still available that you could see the Yankees going after or possibly, you know, teams that we'd be willing, you know, who are the pitchers out there that you feel should be on the radar for a lot of Yankee fans?
Well, listen, everyone's available. What we like to do and what we told our baseball people to do is let's watch the season unfold. Let's see who the bullpen arms are who are outperforming, because bullpen arms can stay hot for a whole year unless you're Fernando Rodney. Let's see who the starting pitchers are who may not cost a lot of money, who are truly overperforming, who can add depth to our rotation. So I don't like our baseball people to identify people now in March and April. I want them to identify people in May and June as we look to fortify our roster. So we actually don't look at names this early. We keep a list, of course, of who the pending free agents are, who the rental players are. But you're really looking to see how the season unfolds, which is why late spring training trades and signings are so rare, which is why it's so strange that Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery are hanging out, because yeah, you just don't see that too often.
Right. I was just going to say, you know, should they make a play for Blake Snell? Big picture here. You mentioned the Baltimore Orioles looking to pick up where they left off, winning over 100 games, surprising a lot of folks last year. You're right. The Tampa Bay Rays, I feel like lock and reload every year. They just do the right things. I think the Blue Jays can be better. Boston Red Sox, let's just write them out of it. How do you see this division panning out? Are you expecting the Orioles to come back strong again, David?
I worry about regression, second-year regression, though they have another great rookie in Holiday, but they also have guys who had great rookie years. And sometimes you do get a little regression in year two. They've got tremendous injuries in their rotation, but they traded for Corbin Burns. So there's both a positive and a negative. I see a scenario to win 100 games, and I see a scenario to win 85 games, and that sounds like I'm copping out, and I don't mean to do that. I would tell you that the Orioles will be in the race the entire year, but the real X factor is when their new owner gets approved and how quickly the new owner, David Rubenstein, wants to start spending money, because the Orioles will be in a position to add at the deadline. And as a first-time owner, he may really want to show, hey, it's a new day here in the Inner Harbor, so they could be a true competitor to the Yankees in player acquisition in the June-July timeframe.
Again, David Sampson joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's turn our attention to what's going on with the Mets. Expectations not as hefty for them coming into this season. Your thoughts on what they were able to do, hot stove slash cold stove. your thoughts on what this Mets team looks like coming into the season, David.
I may have a brain cloud, but I'm trying to think of what they did this offseason. And I think it was it Severino?
Luis Severino?
At the top of the rotation? Is that it? Because he's like a number seven pitcher. So what's interesting is Steve Cohen figured out quickly that losing all that money every year doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And once he's been in the game long enough, it just doesn't. He realizes how quickly the years go and how quickly you can underperform the way the Mets did last year. He's paying a ton of money to have Max and Justin not pitch for him. And I understand why he did it. It makes sense. Signing old pitchers to deals like that, it doesn't work. I'm not sure that Severino is going to be their answer at the top of the rotation. I'm not sure that overpaying Alonso is going to be their answer, but that's something they're going to have to figure out, because he's going to want to be Aaron Judge. And maybe he should be Aaron Judge. But when you are the Mets, you have to bring your payroll back in line. And you've given your fans this expectation that you're going to spend like a drunken sailor every year, and then you rip the Band-Aid off and don't, though they don't have a low payroll by any means, but it just felt different this offseason while he tries to retrain his fan base. So it will be interesting. I would expect the Mets to not be competitive in a division like the National League East, where the Phillies and Braves are so far better. The Nationals and Marlins are not. The Mets are not. I think that the gap between Phillies, Braves, and the other three is larger than the entire gap in the American League East.
Yeah, so, I mean, not going on a limb here. Again, the Braves winning 104 games last season, picking up where they left off, arguably getting even better. Big picture, let's look big picture here in regard to Major League Baseball. A lot of people are on the Pirates right now. Pirates... win total over. Pirates surprising some folks, possibly winning the Central, maybe winning. Your thoughts on the Pirates? Is all the buzz around them warranted?
I love this. I love March when the season starts, because we're all tied for first place and everyone dreams that we'll be this year's Diamondbacks or even this year's Rangers and take it all the way to a ring. You just don't know. The Pirates, of course, everyone complains. Their owner doesn't spend money. They stink. They have a low payroll. But before you know it, they have a bunch of really good young players. And, mm-hmm. of course, a pitcher like Sid Finch, who throws 135 miles an hour. So are they in the mix of being one of those surprise teams? It really helps the division they're in. But there's a bunch of possible teams in that division, might I add. And there's some people who are super excited about what's going on in Ohio. So it'll be interesting. And I mean Cincinnati. So it'll be, although Cleveland too, I should say. So which will be that team? There's no reason it can't be Pittsburgh. And what I'm looking for, and Anita, this is so important, these teams with low payrolls, and I was one of them for 18 years, we always budgeted money to be buyers at the deadline. We always assumed we were in the race and wanted to add to see if we could go for it and win. And so it'll be interesting to see which teams have actually budgeted and then which teams follow through and spend that budgeted money, because there will be, given the way the league is, a lot of buyers in theory. So I find that to be the most exciting part of the year, is when teams have to decide where they are and what they're going to do and whether or not they're delusional about their chances. So this time of year is when you just hope not to get buried. And if you're the Yankees, even if you're the Mets, though, the Mets likely are buried already. But the Yankees, for them, it's so important. Not you can't win your division in April. In theory, you can lose your division in April. So you always want to be around the 500 mark if you can. And don't be one of those teams that just says, hey, we'll turn it on. The Padres were that last year. They assumed they just turned it on whenever they wanted with all their skill. And guess what? They turned it on too late and didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, finishing 76-86, fourth in that Central Division. Last but not least, maybe I buried the lead here, and that's the Dodgers. Getting Ohtani, getting a highly acclaimed pitcher as well from Japan. They are favored to win the World Series, understandably so, with their roster, both offense and defensively. Are you buying into this Dodgers team?
I'm actually not. I don't like the depth of their rotation. Glasnow's great. Yamamoto, first year. There's a chance he's great. There's a chance he struggles. Remember Dice K with the Red Sox? Mm-hmm. It is not a fait accompli that he will be a Cy Young Rookie of the Year winner. He certainly has the talent and the arsenal to be that. And, of course, the top of their lineup's great. But don't forget, Shohei Ohtani hasn't won a playoff game. Don't forget that Betts and Freeman got swept out by the Diamondbacks last year. So you just don't know what's going to happen, which is why you play the games. But what excites me is the fact that people believe that it's a runaway, and then when the reality is that it's not, it will have people engage with their team and with the season more than they would have, because there's a lot of people out there who just think the Dodgers have won their pennant already, and I just don't believe that to be true.
David, you rock. Really appreciate it. Ran 16 miles this morning, and then, you know, on a St. Patrick's Sunday fun day, had time to join us to talk some Major League Baseball. You're the best, my friend. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Have a great day. Take care. Bye.
You got it. You got it. Make sure you look, follow, subscribe to everything David has going on. Some really, really great analysis, even outside of Major League Baseball. 800-919-3776. Yankee fans, Mets fans want to chime in. What are your expectations for the season? I thought it was pretty interesting. I reached out to him yesterday, and that's why I was curious. I asked David Sampson, would you have traded Spencer Jones for Corbin Burns or Cease? And his response to me was yes. And I thought, oh, let me get him on the show. Interesting, because reports out there, especially now, and again, easier in hindsight, right? Not expecting anything happen to Gerrit Cole. Not injury prone by any stretch of the imagination. You know, and reports are that the Yankees are just, Spencer Jones is untouchable. Could not be a part of any trade deal. So didn't trade to the Brewers and of course missed out with Cease from the White Sox to the Padres, of course. Your thoughts, 800-919-3776 here on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7. ESPN.
Anita Marks with you on for an extra 30 minutes leading into your Rangers pregame show hosted by Don LaCreca. And of course, you'll be able to listen to your Rangers game right here on 98.7 ESPN. Great to have David on. Excited for baseball season to start. Even though you know me, I'm a football gal, sad when the season ends, but love our sports calendar because we're heading into March Madness. Later on tonight will be Selection Sunday. And then I don't know about you, but I sit there and spend copious amounts of hours filling out brackets, participating in a variety of pools, And of course, wagering. I love wagering on the first round. I feel like the first round is the most lucrative round pertaining to March Madness. So Thursday and Friday are going to be a ton of fun. Going to try to find some local watering holes, whether it's here in Hoboken or somewhere in the city, to take in all the action. So excited about that. And then, of course, football season in regard to free agency right now. And then we're heading into the NFL draft. And then, of course, baseball season starting up. Harvey, I know you're a Yankees fan. Your thoughts on my conversation with David Sampson and him saying that he would have traded Spencer Jones. You know, how concerned are you with Gerrit Cole? And do you think it's wise that the Yankees have him off limits?
Yeah, I'm just nervous in general because I don't know if he has a setback, if rest and recovery is just enough for him to slowly ease his way back into the rotation. I can understand why he would trade Spencer Jones. Just because, I mean, us Yankee fans have been haunted by the fact that we could have had Luis Castillo for Anthony Volpe a few years ago. So I totally understand it. I just hope he comes back 100% because right now their rotation is short. It's full of questions. You don't know about Rodon yet. Nestor Cortez is the opening day starter, but even he comes with questions. And you just got to wonder, like, who holds up those four or five spots in rotation? And if Cole even comes back, does he come back to that Cy Young form that he had last season?
What are your thoughts on Stroman not wanting to start opening day against Houston?
I would have done it. I mean,
as a starting pitcher, like, what an honor. Like, that's a bucket list. I'm a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, an opportunity to be an opening day starting pitcher, like, and his excuse is, you know, it'll throw off his routine. And I do understand. I've had several conversations with starting pitchers and relief pitchers, and why there's a number of starting pitchers who don't like going into the bullpen because it ruins their routine. When you know that you're going to start every 4 days, every 5 days, every 6 days, you've got a routine, even to the point where there's a lot of, not a lot, but there's the ones that I've spoken to where, you know, a starting pitcher will stop drinking any type of alcoholic beverage 2 or 3 days before they have to pitch. So they have a routine in life in regard to what they drink, what they eat, how they work out, exercise. If you're in the bullpen, you know what I mean? You're now, of course, you know, on call every night, every day, every night. And so that's a different lifestyle. I get that. But still, having the opportunity to be an opening day starting pitcher, to me, priceless. And for Stroman to be like, oh no, it doesn't work into my schedule and my routine, it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way, no?
I understand it. Michael Kay and the guys were talking about it. There's like a pride factor in wanting to be the opening day starter. You know, it's opening day, the crowds are full. You start off the season, and hey, if you win, guess what? You get to be part of, like, a fun fact later in life. But, you know, I it's weird, man, because Boone and Cashman that talked to him about it, and he said that he don't want to mess up with his program. And it's kind of like, you know, you can have, like, all the programs you want. We kind of know what he is now as a pitcher. He's not going to pitch deep into ball games. He might on occasion, but you know, he's like a number three starter. So, I don't know. It's like, you just take it for what it is now.
I will say this. He declined opening day in Houston on March 28th, but he is going to pitch opening day here at home for the Yankees April 5th against Toronto. So, at least there's that. I don't know. I don't know. The whole thing's weird to me. When we get back, I'll bring you up to speed on what's going on in NCAA. Not only is it St. Patrick's Day, happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody out there, but also it is Selection Sunday, an exciting night because tomorrow morning and throughout Tuesday, Wednesday, getting ready for the tournament to tip off, no pun intended, on Thursday. I don't know about you, but I am working my bracket Every minute, every waking minute, I'm doing more and more research, making calls, and trying to put together the perfect bracket. So excited about Selection Sunday tonight. We're with you for another 30 minutes when we get back here on 98.7 ESPN.